The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight, we journey into a world of hidden truths and esoteric knowledge with Brad Olson, an author, world traveler, and explorer, with a deep passion for uncovering the secrets that lie beyond the visible surface of our reality. In this captivating interview, Olson delves into the mysteries surrounding the timing of the 2024 total solar eclipse, revealing a pattern that resonates deeply with esoteric traditions and the significance of numbers in celestial events. He discusses his experiences with previous eclipses and the peculiar phenomena that accompany these moments when day turns into night, shedding light on the rare and fascinating occurrences that make these events a spectacle of nature. But Olson's insights go beyond natural wonders, touching on the esoteric aspects of our world that are often hidden from the public eye. From the potential for a major seismic event along the New Madrid fault line, signified by an intriguing X marks the spot in southern Illinois, to the alignment of planets and the return of a mysterious comet, dubbed the Devil Comet, for the first time in 71 years during the eclipse. He explores the possibility of gravity anomalies triggering natural disasters and delves into the realms of secret societies, hidden technologies, and the manipulation of historical events by powerful forces operating behind the scenes. Olson's narrative takes us on a journey through time, from the construction of ancient megalithic structures that defy our understanding of ancient civilizations to the modern-day implications of hidden technologies and the control exerted by the elite over the narrative of history and science. He invites us to question the accepted narratives and to consider the possibilities that lie in the untold stories of our past, the mysteries of our universe, and the untapped potential of humanity. As we prepare to step into this intriguing discussion, let's keep our minds open to the endless possibilities that history, science, and the mysteries of the cosmos have to offer. Join us as Brad Olson takes us on a journey through the shadows of the known world, into the depths of the esoteric knowledge that has shaped our past, present, and could determine our future.
Welcome to Veritas. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with Mel, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And now, here's your host, Mel Hostelrich.
And you can find all his 10 esoteric books on Amazon. His websites are bradolsen, OLSEN.com, and CCC Publishing.com. And directly from Salt Lake City, Utah, I'd like to welcome author, world traveler, and explorer, Brad Olson. Hello, Brad, and welcome to Veritas. Finally, how are you?
Hey, Mel, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on Project Veritas. I'm a big fan of all you guys' work, and likewise, it's a great pleasure and honor to speak with you here today as well.
Likewise, and by the way, a lot of people confuse us with James O'Keefe's former Project Veritas. We're not the same. I'm a huge fan of O'Keefe Group, and I just heard it today that they're disbanding Project Veritas in its entirety. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow, how come you're doing that?
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people, when they fired him from Project Veritas, unsubscribed from me, thinking that I had something to do with it. But we started before James, and I wish him all the best, but we don't have anything to do with that organization.
Well, okay. And you're in the clear.
Anyway, Brad, the timing of the 2024 total solar eclipse, I told you before, you've been addressing this for the past few weeks, and I want to dive deep into this. 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days after the 2017 eclipse, a sequence that can't help you but catch your eye with its repetition. In esoteric traditions, as you know, numbers carry deep symbolism. What insights can you share about this particular numerical pattern and the occurrence in the context of these significant celestial events?
Yeah, and we know that the deep state, they love their special dates and they follow gematria and they go off all these numbers and auspicious dates. So there's a lot going on with this upcoming April 8th full solar eclipse. And I was at the full solar eclipse 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days ago out in Idaho with my dad and my uncle and another radio show host, Ryan Gable from The Secret Teachings. It was an amazing experience, Mel. I'll never forget it. And I'm looking forward to April 8th. So all of these things that we're going to talk about related to the eclipse, I'd just say, let's not be fear-based here. We're not trying to scare anybody, but there are a lot of very unusual things that are happening, and call them coincidences, or some are by design, but others are just happenstance. But I'm going to be in Texas at an event that I'm speaking at. So I'm getting on a plane and flying somewhere all the way out to Bastrop, Texas for the Team Light event. And so I'm not worried about getting stranded there or anything really freaky happening, but I'll tell you that there's a lot of strange things going on. And so let's just start with the pattern that is created from the last solar eclipse 6.5 years ago and the one that's going to occur here on April 8th. And they create an X marks the spot right over southern Illinois and eastern Missouri and the far western Kentucky. And that's interesting because that is the New Madrid fault line. And I remember as a kid, Mel, when I grew up in the Chicago area, that there were multiple times we'd hear about a slight earthquake along the Mississippi River Valley, and this New Madrid fault line would have a 3.5 or a 4.2 Richter scale earthquake, enough to do a little shaking, but not really any damage. But come to find out, the New Madrid fault line is one of the most active fault lines in North America. I mean, it's right up there with the San Andreas fault line that bisects through most of California. So this X marks the spot. If there was a gravity anomaly, for example, there's the possibility that it could trigger an earthquake. And the other thing is we have all the major planets are in perfect alignment with the 2024 total solar eclipse, along with the Pleiades and the mysterious comet. Have you heard about that one yet? The
Devil's Comet. Yep.
Yeah, which is returning during April eclipse for the first time in 71 years. Now, 71 years ago, a lot of people were reading comic books. The last time it was visible in the sky, and people said, "Oh, that's the comet that gives Superman his powers." So it had been quite famous, and it's got two tails that separate out. So the last time, the real name is Comet Pons-Brooks. Nicknamed the Devil Comet because of its two-pronged tail, passed Perihelion, the closest point to the sun in its orbit, was 1954. The next will be next month in April 21st, 2024. But that's just 2 weeks after the April 8th total solar eclipse that will cross North America. And we know that Comet Pons-Brooks will be in the sky near the sun during totality. So look out for that if you're going to watch the eclipse. It's likely to be bright enough to be picked up with binoculars, but if it outbursts again, perhaps it'll be even visible to the naked eye in the daytime twilight brought on as the moon covers the sun. So we got kind of a double whammy going on. Just when you thought it couldn't get any weirder, here comes the Devil's Comet, a rare and massive comet with a devilish nickname set to pass by Earth for the first time in 71 years and likely visible during that highly anticipated April 8th event. So it is a very auspicious day, Mel. And now that you got a 2-for-1 by viewing the eclipse, it only gets a little weirder from there.
Well, just for the audience, a lot of people are used to the annular eclipse, which is where the sun, you know, that the moon leaves a ring of fire around the sun. But this is a total eclipse with the moon totally covering the sun. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, between 5 and 15 degree difference, it's going to get colder for a lot of people.
Yeah. That's one of the really bizarre things. I remember when I was in Idaho for the eclipse, and we were up on a high desert plateau. So as soon as it reaches totality, that is, as you mentioned, the moon totally covering the sun, yeah, the temperature drops 10 or 15 degrees. I remembered all the animals going completely silent. So dogs stopped barking and birds stopped chirping. And the weirdest thing that I observed that day that I wasn't expecting to see, not only did the whole sky go dark so you could see stars and the moon quite clearly, but all around the horizon, it was like sunrise. So 360 degrees around, it was light out right at the bottom, but then it moves up into total darkness. So it's one of these very strange, but also very benign event that you could see of a natural occurring event, the most benign of all. That's why it's very strange when you hear the National Guard being called out and some states are saying, get stocked up on supplies and have your gas car. It's a very benign event. Nobody gets hurt, right? It's just a very unusual viewing phenomenon. I mean, you could be chasing a tornado or be in a hurricane path, or I was in the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989 out in California, or you could be hit by a tsunami. All of those are natural events that can be very dangerous, but this one is not at all. It's the most benign natural event you could watch. So I hope people keep that in mind, but it's somewhat interesting to hear that there is all of this talk of perhaps a natural disaster that might accompany it.
You use that word benign, and in my lifetime, and probably yours too, and I've seen a few of those in my lifetime, but never once have I heard the government say we're going to deploy the National Guard. The FAA is warning people about, you know, travel disruption, communication, people, you know, go get water, food. But this is an interesting fact. In September of 1811, there was a total eclipse in the United States in December of 1811. And the New Madrid fault line popped off into a series of major earthquakes all the way through into January. Every total solar eclipse affects the fault lines they pass over because of the full moon. And that is scientific fact. And I'm sure you're familiar with the Edgar Cayce map. What do you think might happen that day?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the New Madrid fault line, because in 1811, that was such a major series of earthquakes, the biggest of which could be felt all the way out to South Carolina. So that's over 1,000 miles away. They were feeling that. And when they're that big, yeah, that's significant. It was so big, it reversed course of the Mississippi River for a couple days. So it's a mover and a shaker. But Mel, I'd like to remind your audience that we do have the technology that can trigger earthquakes, and that's the HARP arrays. And there are dozens of these HARP machine type arrays all over the country, not only in America. China has them, Russia has them, and we even have HARP machines that are on the water that can move around, not just up in Gonoka, Alaska, where the first HARP machines were built way back in the 1980s.
You tell Haiti about that.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about a God-made event, right? An act of nature or a man-made event. So let's not rule out the possibility that there could also be a false flag type of event that could trigger the New Madrid fault line. And we just saw what happened in Baltimore with that bridge coming down. And this is going to cripple the East Coast for years to come with transportation, not only over that bridge, but the port of Baltimore. cannot receive or send out shipments. So it's going to have a ripple effect, as could anything that is triggered on April 8th.
I was going to let you open doors, Brad. We're going to be talking about esoteric stuff, but I'm glad you're opening this door of the ship, because this is something I've been looking at for the past few days. You know who Lara Logan is. She's doing great reporting, and she's telling me that was a terrorist attack. It was well planned. There's no way that in the 21st century there's no backup in that modern ship not to be able to stop what they were doing. They were going directly into that column specifically because it knew it would collapse the entire bridge. And not only that, that whole area will be paralyzed for the next 3 to 5 years because it's not only the ship, it's all the foundation on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, that bridge will have to be completely rebuilt. And I was in the Bay Area in California when we put in the new Bay Bridge, and that took about a decade. Everything was just tied up in red tape. So 3 to 5 years is actually an optimistic estimation, because that bridge went down in its totality. And if you look at the latter part of the bridge collapse, you'll see some fire in the girders and the last pylon. There's a big explosion at the end. What could possibly have been flammable with a steel girder bridge coming down? So it does appear certainly that there was foul play involved. And I caught the Lara Logan update on that as well, and saying that these ships could be hacked. Yet these kind of large container ships have a lot of fail safes, and they have a generator, battery backup. So the captain would never lose control in the story that we're being told. And even Lara was saying that how the lights went out on the boat, but it would still have a backup. And where were the tugboats at night? I lived in San Francisco Bay Area for many decades, and anytime a tanker ship or a great big one of those containers are coming in, they're often accompanied by tugboats. And we've had a couple close calls with large ships hitting the girders of the Bay Bridge connecting San Francisco and Oakland. And so they're very, very concerned about water safety traffic and avoiding these exact kind of incidents. But it would appear that all these protocols were just out the window that night. So once again, looking very suspicious that this had been more planned than accident.
You know what you just said, I don't know why. It's reminiscent of 9/11. The absence of the two tugboats, it's almost like Cheney and the stand down order, and we know what happened to the rest. But somebody sent me a video, a slow motion, where you can see some flashes in certain parts of the bridge. It's almost that perhaps they could have placed explosives before that. But somebody, this is why I love when this happens, because immediately after, people start sending me emails. There's one here. Somebody said, what was the name of the cargo ship? Francisco, let's see, Dali, like Salvador Dali. And Dali in 1945 did a painting named The Broken Bridge and the Dream. I wonder if these people have predictive programming in everything they do. What do you think, Brad?
In everything they do, yeah. And it was based out of Sri Lanka. So you've got a faraway nation who runs the shipping line. And I've heard that that ship is now out of there, that it has been disappeared. There's another one where the bridge fell on it and it's still there in place, but this one got out of Dodge as soon as it could. I don't know how it could have gotten through that wreckage. But again, yeah. Is it predictive programming? Are they setting it up so that they give us these little nuggets to follow? You see the explosions in some of the videos, and what the heck's going on there? But what's known is, here's another little prick into the whole notion of taking down America. 1,000 points of light, just doing it one at a time. Look at all the food processing factories that have gone up in smoke in the last couple years, to the tune of dozens. I might even be up to 100 now. This fire in North Texas, it eliminated tens of thousands of their livestock cow. So it's just death by 1,000 pricks of the needle, really. And this being a pretty big one, when if you live in the East Coast, you're going to feel it. Maybe not immediately, but supply chain disruptions are going to come and stay for a while.
I'm glad you're mentioning this.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasradio.com. Because you don't want to believe, you want to know. Subscribe now. To listen to the rest and all of our exclusive material, proceed to the Veritas Plus member section or join the Veritas Plus family by subscribing. Click on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for focused life force energy. Get a 15-day free trial today with no credit card required. And if you want to get in touch with Mel, want to be a guest on this radio program, have a guest suggestion, or have feedback, just click on the contact button on our website at veritasradio.com. Now, proceed to the Veritas Plus member section or subscribe to listen to the rest of the interview. You don't want to miss it. Because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at VeritasRadio.com.